Hello and welcome to worship this morning. There's a couple intimations this morning. First of all, can all elders with districts please collect their Easter cards for members in their districts, and their cards just down to the table on the left. That's all elders to collect their cards for their districts. Second of all, I'm here on behalf of Message Church this morning. Some of you might not know what that is, and we're going to just talk a little bit about it today. So Message Church is an outreach we've been planning for a few months for our families in our local community and our cluster. We are running Message Church with other churches and Christians in the area, and it's an opportunity for families to come as they are, to discover Jesus through music, crafts, Bible stories, and we will all have a meal together. And it runs once a month, and we are looking for volunteers in the following teams. We're looking for people who give us a great big warm welcome to the families. So the welcome team, catering team, so if you've got skills in making food, that would be great. Crafts and experiments, if you don't mind getting a little bit messy, that's your opportunity to get a little bit messy on the day. Upfront team, so people to present, to share stories, and to kind of keep the programme running throughout the time. The music team, obviously playing some music for us and leading us in time of songs. And then audio-visual team. So if you have any skills in those areas or are interested in helping or wanting to find out more, please come speak to me after the service. Also, if you're not interested in any of that, you can still help because we are in need of your junk. Don't know about you, but my recycling bins are overflowing as we speak. And if you're like me, you might need some more places to put it. Well, come bring it down to the church because we need it. We need some stuff like cereal boxes, cardboard, toilet rolls, interesting recycling stuff. All you can imagine we would need. Plastic bottles, yogurt tubs, also milk bottle lids and any wool. That's all appreciated. This box will be situated at the back of the church every Sunday for the next few Sundays, so please bring your junk to me. That would be great. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. The psalmist said, "Sing to the Lord, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. Praise be to God." Well, we join together this morning to sing praise to God with our first hymn, and we will sing through it twice. It's "I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in My Heart." Come to God in prayer. Let's join together and pray. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, your feet stand on the foundations of time, and your eyes witness the scope of eternity. Your hands fashion the greatness and intricacy of creation, and your words have the power of life. As we see the rebirth of spring, we hear your words of promise. As we see the green growing from the ground, we hear your words of provision. As we see the lengthening days, we hear your words of revelation. As we see the birth of new life, we hear your words of resurrection. And as we behold your promise fulfilled of life in its season, we hear your words, "Behold, I make all things new." And yet, Lord, we confess that we so often resist your transforming power. We hold on to our myopic vision when you reveal the scope of your creation. We hold on to our decaying treasures when you offer us the needs of others. We hold on to our hard hearts when you offer us life without the sclerosis of selfishness. We remember old wounds when you offer us healing through forgiving and forgetting. Father, speak your transforming words into our hearts. Call us out of our tombs of selfishness and insularity. Resurrect us to a new life in Jesus. Make us wise as we study and follow his teaching. Make us loving as we embrace and emulate his sacrifice. Make us your children and heirs, yes, heirs, as we carry on the transforming work of Jesus in this world you have given us. Lord, we long to be in your presence, and we dedicate our desires for you in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen." Now, do we have one or two young ones that want to make it down to the front? Come down. Come on down, as the offer has it. Oh, we're looking. I have one picture for you. Or you could just sit there. Just sit there. Now, the start of lockdown for some of the youngsters might seem to be quite a long time ago, but for me it seems like just yesterday. And one of the things that I loved doing when I wasn't allowed to go to work was walk through Tayfield. And what a sight beheld us, because the swans had their cygnets. And we have a picture. Oh yeah, we have not my picture, unfortunately. But it was so interesting to see the cygnets grow up day by day. Every day we went back to Tayfield, they seemed to be just that little bit bigger. And the mother swan was always there looking out for the cygnets, keeping them together, keeping them close, even when the cygnets were getting a bit bigger. Now, you know that stage. Children, I'm going to stop, talk to the parents just for a wee second. But you know that stage when your kids get a bit bigger and they just seem to be getting a bit clumsy. Well, the cygnets got to that stage as well. Oh, one of the boys disagrees, but that happens. Children seem to get a bit clumsy. And the other thing is, you know how children's feet seem to grow really, really quickly? Yeah? Am I making that up? Well, that happened to the cygnets as well, because they got to the stage where the cygnets were currying in to their mother like that, and they were all pushing in. They all went, "Mum, I want to be there. I want the best bit, Mum." They were all pushing in and jostling, but they seemed to be all feet. Their wings were still small, but their feet were huge. And they just seemed to be clumsy, but they always wanted to stay close. But the thing with the swan is, you could just about imagine them saying, "Get off, I've had enough of you. Take your big clumsy feet away." But the swan always had time for the children. And today's a special day. What day is it today? Please, a child, shout out, what day is it today? It's thank you for shouting out. It's Mother's Day. Don't shout out during the sermon, that would be rude. It's Mother's Day today, and we have a special day of thank you to all mothers who look after us. There's a bit in the Bible, it's in the book of Isaiah, and the writer's telling us about how much we're loved. And he asks this question, he says, would a mother ever forget the child she bore, the child that she's fed? And the answer is, of course, no mother would forget their child. But he goes on to say, if you could just imagine a mother forgetting her child, God will never forget you. And there's something that tells us about God, that no matter how much your mother loves you, and I don't suppose anybody can love you more, well, there's one that can love you more, and that's God. And that tells us what the heart of God is like. And we're going to sing it. Now, the thing is, you've just been sitting down, but this time I really would like you to come forward, because there are some actions, and I'm hopeless at actions, and I'm hoping you're better. Would you come forward and do some actions for the song? Would you do that? No, I'm seeing a face. Okay, you're stuck with me. Right. I'm going to lead you in the actions. Apologies if it all goes horribly wrong, but you all need to join in. The song is God's Love is the Best Love.
Our first reading this morning comes from Joshua, chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, and from verses 13 to 16. Joshua 3, 7 to 8, 13 to 16, crossing the Jordan. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zaharethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 and verses 13 to 16. Matthew 3, 1 to 6, 13 to 16. John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word.
We join together to sing our next hymn, number 688 in the hymn book, or words on the projected, by Cool Siloam's Shady Rill.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The River Tay. Isn't it beautiful? I don't think there can be a better place to experience those stunning sunsets that we've had in past summers that seem to make the sky so much bigger and bigger again in the reflection in the water on a still evening. And on a stormy day, we see the white horses that seem to chase each other over the water. And it's not for nothing that we call it the silvery Tay on a bright morning. I think the Tay is a precious thing, a precious place. But when the weather gets wild, the bridge shuts. And then, policed by the barriers and the staff of the Tay Road Bridge Joint Board, the river becomes itself a barrier to thwart shoppers, workers, travellers. We stand and we look for moving traffic, or we search for updates on our mobile phones. We look for confirmation that we can get over the bridge and on with their lives, or we shrug our shoulders, get in the car, and go on the long slog via Perth. Well, in today's passages that Jane just read for us, the river isn't the Tay, it's the Jordan. And it's been lifeblood for many purposes. Not least, it's a boundary between nations, but also the source of irrigation for large areas of crops in different countries, drinking water for people of different nations. And implicit in the stories that we heard is the point of decision-making. Being on the shore of the river is the point of decision. Do I step in or do I step back? Well, the people of Israel were at a point of decision. All the events, all the paths they walked for 40 years had brought them to this point. Moses, their leader, the one who led them from slavery, was dead. Their new leader, Elijah, had taken them to the brink of a new existence. Moses had led the people in a wandering life for 40 years. Few of the Israelites would even have remembered life in Egypt. Many of them had been born on the road, born nomads. And although God had led them, had provided for them, had blessed them in the wilderness, now he was offering them something new, something more, a place to settle, to build houses and grow crops, a place to call home. Well, the people had heard the promises of God, but now came the moment of decision. To accept the offer or to reject it. Stepping across the river meant leaving the past behind. You may recall how the people grumbled when Moses led them to freedom from the slavery of Egypt, how they said it would have been better, they'd have been better off staying where they were. Well, returning to Egypt had not really been much of an option at the time, but staying on this side of the river, keeping on the move, walking the known path, living the life they had as a nation experienced for the previous 40 years was now an option. But why would they want to turn away from the land of promise, the home granted by God? Why? Because the other side of the river meant not only giving up everything they had learned to depend on, but it also meant accepting years of hard perseverance and struggle. And yet they did step into the river and cross to the other side. Why would they do that? Why would they risk it all to follow the dream? Those people who follow Jesus may well hope that their faith would steer their decision making. Yet so often the choices we have to make, the dilemmas we face, don't have neat parallels in the Bible or even in the traditions of the church. And on top of that, sometimes the options before us are all less than perfect. So how to choose the best of a bad bunch? And even when we see what is the right course, so often we are confronted with the uncertainty of not being able to see the future, or are forced to face up to challenge and loss. But we're prone to forget that God does not demand that we have all the answers. Instead, he asks us to be faithful. We live in a world of instant results that are barely imaginable only a generation ago. Instant communication, instant purchases and deliveries, instant gratification. But God's time stretches beyond our mortal existence. We want to be effective. He wants us to be faithful. In the time frame of eternity, to be faithful is to be effective. You may recognize the name of Chelsea Burnett Sullenberger. I've slipped his middle name in there because that gives us Scots a chance to claim a little bit of his glory. In 2009, Sully, as he's called, was piloting the commercial aeroplane that shortly after takeoff from New York's LaGuardia Airport suffered a bird strike of a flock of Canada geese that knocked out both its engines. Faced with the prospect of crash landing in a heavily populated area, instead, Sully made an emergency water landing on the Hudson River. All 155 people on the plane survived the ditching, and Sully received widespread recognition and acclaim for his actions. Though, incidentally, he also received criticism. Apparently, it doesn't matter how much good you do, there's always somebody who's ready to criticize you. Well, that experience was nothing like anything he had experienced in his long flying career. And even the training that he had received to deal with total engine failure was only relevant at high altitudes, which at the time of the bird strike, the plane had not attained. It was still on a low flight path. So how did he come up with such a successful plan of action? He later said, "One way of looking at this might be that for 42 years, I've been making small, regular deposits in this bank of experience, education, and training. And on January 15th, the balance was sufficient so that I could make a very large withdrawal. And when we face our own dilemmas, though they're never as likely to be as high profile, we have our own bank of experience, education, and training in our life of faith, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's those regular small deposits of moments of prayer, of times reading or listening to the Bible, of worshiping as a family of God, of Sunday school classes, of singing hymns, even the ones we don't really like, of fellowship with our Christian friends, of talking to others about what we've learned about our Father and his loving purposes for us. It's these things that build us up and prepare us for when we have to call on all our resources. Through these things, we face many situations where we know the right thing to do because in our nearness to God, we've gained a glimpse of his will for us. And so when Elijah calls forward the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, instead of stepping back, leaning on all that happened in the last 40 years, the priests step forward. The Bible tells us that God stops the water upstream, and the Israelites walk forward, walk into the new and exciting chapter of their story of living faithfully with their God. The other Bible passage that Jane read to us this morning also featured the Jordan, but this time the people were needing the water to be there. John the Baptist is making waves. He's speaking of judgment, repentance, and the nearness of the kingdom of God. And the people who hear him, they listen, and they take the decisive action. They allow John to baptize him. To repent means to turn around. And that's what they're doing. They're hearing the call of God and following the sound of that call, they are turning their lives around. And then Jesus comes. What does he have to repent of? How is his life anything other than completely immersed in the will of his heavenly Father? And yet he too steps forward into the water. This for Jesus is the revealing of the next chapter in his mission, the beginning of his ministry. He's walking away. He's walking away from the quiet upbringing, the village life, the work of his hands. And he's stepping forward into his global mission, walking the path of the cross. The river is the threshold. And Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove. We don't know if anybody could possibly describe that situation without resorting to analogies. But the change in Jesus is clear. He's a man on a mission. He's a man on the mission. And in that sign, we see the thread that draws together the story, our experience, our future. At each step, God's Holy Spirit is working in us to guide and to encourage, to reprove and to toughen. Have we not all been in the storm of life and wonder if we'll be able to hold it together? We wonder if our house will come crashing down or if our life's been built on sinking sand. The Spirit of God works through those regular small deposits laid down in the times of comfort and ease that strengthen us for the hard times. Are there not times when we cannot see the way forward? The Holy Spirit guides us, perhaps not revealing to us the solution, but by teaching us to be faithful, not by showing us the full scope of the future, but by unveiling the past and reminding us of the faithfulness of our God who keeps his promises. And one thinker described our journey as walking backwards into the future, because we don't really know all that we will encounter. But when we look back, we can make sense of where we are. We can see those who are being left behind to reach out a helping hand. We can learn the lesson from burdens that we've had the courage to set down. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord is the light to our path." But sometimes it seems like he's only lit the path for one more step. But being faithful means taking that step. We know that we don't walk alone. Just as the Israelites stepped forward in faith, God walked with them to encourage and guide. They walked into strife and turmoil, but they walked into it with God beside them. Did God do it all for them? No, but we know that God does amazing things with limited resources. He built a nation from a stumbling, grumbling people. We'll all find ourselves at the river, at the point of decision and of action. And we can learn from the people of Israel, who didn't turn from the blessings of God, but they walked and they worked with him. They learned to be faithful, even when the path wasn't clear. And when we do this, we carry on the work of Jesus, started in the waters of the Jordan River, in the name of the God who does amazing things with us and through us, his limited resources, and bring glory to Jesus. So when next you're admiring the view over the River Tay, when we get that first fiery golden sunset of the summer, when we're drinking it in or marveling at stormy waves, will you remember this, that God urges us to remain faithful to him, urges us to put our trust into him and to cross the river. Amen. We join again in worship, singing our next hymn, All the Way My Saviour Leads Me. Join to dedicate our offerings. Let us pray. Father God, you are always giving and forgiving, and we are always getting and forgetting. Father, remind us to forget those sins that fall against us. Remind us to remember your everlasting love. In recognition of all you have done for us, we give a token of our love as an offering to you and your loving purposes. Will you bless them, bless the work of the church, bless the work of the hands that administer them, and all to the glory of your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Before our prayer of intercession, there is one other intimation, and it's particularly appropriate. That is, this Thursday at 7 p.m., there is a gathering on the green to remember the situation in Ukraine. That we will have prayers for the war and also to show support for all who are involved and are suffering. So that's this Thursday, 7 p.m., meeting on the green just outside the front door of the church. We come to God with our prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord God, you are the God who does not forget us. And at this time, we pray for those who feel forgotten. We pray for the desperate situation in Ukraine and for those people who feel like the world is passing by on the other side. Father God, we give you thanks for those nations who have opened their arms and their homes. Will you help us to be a nation who binds wounds and sets straight? We pray too for those leaders who are about to meet in Israel, brought together, disparate though they are, once enemies though they were, brought together by the challenge of a common enemy. Father, grant them wisdom and courage, and teach them to act not through the challenge of an enemy, but through the love of a common humanity. Father God, we pray for those who are affected by the turmoil of world economy, those suffering a local crisis because of failed supplies or energy bills, money worries. Father God, for those who seem to feel like they've been forgotten by our economy, we ask for your blessing. We pray a special blessing on our leaders grappling with the situation. Lord, grant them wisdom and compassion as they deal with the situation. Father God, we pray for those who are ill. We pray particularly those who are suffering from COVID and ask that you will bring healing to them. We pray for the doctors and researchers who are continuing to find treatments for the illness. We pray too for those who feel that they've been forgotten because treatments for their illnesses have been set back by the extra strain of the pandemic. Father God, we pray that you will keep them safe. You will find a way for them to receive their treatment and bring healing. Father, we pray too for those who suffer from anxiety, who feel on their own. They feel like they're struggling to breathe because they're forgotten. Father God, breathe into them your breath of life, a breath of fresh air. Breathe on them your spirit of calm and reassurance. Father, we pray for your church as it grapples with the desire to be effective and the command to be faithful to Jesus. Help us to find new ways to bring people into relationship with you. Help us to share compassion with those who need it. We pray for our church and community here in Newport and our cluster. Father God, we pray that it will be a place where none are forgotten, where the love of God is tangible, and where Jesus' name is praised when we seek and we do his will. And it's in his name that we pray today. Amen. We close our service today by singing our last hymn, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. spirits, go in peace, always ready to put in a good word for the Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us evermore.